finish the Feast of First Fruits. Dang! Stop laughing at me. Alright, so here we go. Let me show you some of the scriptures that we will be covering today. I'm going to finish up John chapter 20. Not all of it, just some pieces that point to first fruit in the sequence of events. You can turn in advance to Luke 2, starting at verse 41. We'll take a look at Genesis 8 and 4. So if somebody wants to write that down, you can do that or whatever. Joshua 5, 10 and 12. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 15, and James 1, 17, 18. And that kind of sums up, and that will get us lined up for the next feast, which is the Feast of Pentecost, which will be very good. We'll talk about the Feast of Pentecost, what it means to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as a byproduct of that, you can't do the Feast of Pentecost unless you do the Book of Ruth. So we will do a study on the Book of Ruth, because they read Ruth during the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? All right. So that's what we got on the lineup coming up. You're going to enjoy the Book of Ruth. Have I ever done the Book of Ruth here? Oh, yeah. You will. I did it with you guys. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, here we go. Oh, that's not what I want. John chapter 20. Let me go to John chapter 20 first. And hopefully that opens in a new tab. And it didn't. All right, John chapter 20. So let's pick up where we left off before. It is Resurrection Day, First Fruit Day. He's been in the grave a portion of 3 days, 3 nights. And so this is kind of like the fulfillment, the historical piece. First Fruits is also the day that they crossed the Red Sea. So the same day they crossed the Red Sea is the same day Christ rises from the grave. If that ain't just spectacular, I don't know what else. All right. We talked about this last week. But again, I just want to hit... in verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. This thing has to be personal. Can't get in with mommy and daddy's faith or whatever. This has to be personal. The kingdom of heaven grows from a personal perspective when we accept him. Alright? That's part of how the kingdom expands. When she recognizes his voice and that he knows her, she knows him then. Verse 17, I shared this last week. Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. What do you think he's going to do when he ascends to his Father? Pardon me? Absolutely, before he does that. You got to look at Christ's role. Christ is a prophet. He's the soon coming king, but he's also a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which means even though he did not come from the priestly tribe, he's a king priest because he comes from the tribe of Judah. So now he is doing his priestly role. And what does the priest do on the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur?
He asks the people.
He goes in. The Holy of Holies. And what's he doing when he goes in there? When we get to feast number 6, we'll get to details. But he's sprinkling blood to purify the temple all over the place. And he's making intercession for the people. I don't want to get too much into this feast because it's feast number 6. But that is the one day that the people are in expectation and asking, hey, we need our sins covered for the next year. Everything rests on that, on the success of the priest doing that.
I think that's a big difference is he doesn't have a rope tied around his foot.
That's tradition. I'm not sure that actually happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the bells, That is true. So he's moving around. When them bells stop moving, that's a problem. Yeah, he messed up with the bells. Oh, and this was such a critical day for the Jews. Tradition says they had a backup priest in case that dude wasn't straight. Yes.
Okay, so you're saying before he ascended.
Yes.
So are you speaking of the temple here on earth or the temple?
Temple here on earth is only a model.
Right.
Of what's actually in heaven.
What Jesus did.
He went to heaven to present himself as that sacrifice that sanctifies. No, he's in heaven, but he's ascending to his Father so he can fulfill that priestly role on our behalf. Hebrews, it's all in Hebrews. He's that high priest that makes that one sacrifice.
So
that has to take place.
Absolutely.
Because that's what they did in Jewish tradition. Mary would have understood that when he said, "Touch me now, and I'll ascend to my Father." I have not fulfilled my priestly role. And when when that high priest walks through that crowd on day on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, touch me not, folk. I know you're excited. I know you're in anticipation of your forgiveness and the covering of your sins, but I have not yet gone all the way through. I cannot be defiled on my way through.
Okay, all right. So I have a question.
All right.
When he came to doubting Thomas, did he tell Thomas to look, or did he tell Thomas to look and touch?
Well, let's take a look at this, because here we go.
Okay.
All right. Well, when I do my marriage seminar, I tell most ladies to go and ask their husbands. But in your case, you may go home and ask us.
Did he go there?
Well, up in there. Let's go. What's your
question? Okay, so, he went
Whether he's sprinkling blood or not, I don't know what he's doing, but he's fulfilling the role of the priest.
I understand that, Boston. Okay. When you start sprinkling blood, how did he get to go to heaven and sprinkle blood with his arm?
The blood's already been shed.
But he did go to heaven.
Yeah, he did go to heaven.
And he does still intercede for
us. And he intercedes for us.
I just don't see him needing to sprinkle blood.
Well.
It's already made.
Well, he just sprinkled it down here so he can present to heaven. Okay. Now, when you get up there, you're going to ask him, did you actually sprinkle it down? I'm going to sit back and watch my popcorn. Well, Lord, I tried to tell her what you did when you was up there, but, she didn't want to hear it from me or whatever. And she ain't going to listen to Al, so, you can go on and tell
her.
Okay. Oh, I guess you ain't Jesus. And he tells him, but go to my brother and tell them, I ascend to my Father. This is going to answer your question, Lord. I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. All right, and that priest rule. All right. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told, this is a wonderful story of Mary Magdalene, and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. All right. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, still Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. I can't wait for that, boy. Just to be able to walk through doors and walls and stuff like this. Show up. Yeah, that's just show up. I tell you. Mm. All right. Then were the disciples glad when they... Oh, wait a minute. I read too far.
Peace be with you.
Yes. Why did he say peace be unto you?
Shalom.
Yes.
Because they were afraid.
Yeah, but because this ain't supposed to happen. Right. Even though he told them all along that it was going to happen, it just didn't happen like that. Oops, I think I just preached to myself.
Mm-hmm. You sure did.
Yeah. Because I sure had a plan for how it was supposed to happen yesterday. All right. So, he says, peace be unto you. I love this. We're waiting on Jesus to move. He says, have peace. Don't have fear. It may not look like you expected it, but it's coming. Here we go. Verse 20. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, he gives them a word. but they still can't believe it until they see it.
Evidence.
Yeah. Well, when you see it, it's no longer faith.
That's true.
It's fact.
And then you're just stupid if you don't believe the facts. So, yeah. All right. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Why do you think he's got to say peace again?
They're still scared.
They're not believing.
They're
still
right.
Reiterating.
Yeah.
A lot has happened.
But I'm going to give you not a more correct answer, because I think the answer you gave is correct. Because we do believe, and we still have fear even after we do fear. Mm-hmm. So we still need to have that peace. We still get unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
You're
going to add two.
But you got to think about the feast. The feast happened in phases. First phase, second phase. Look at what he says. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. That would be a little unsettling for me if I was there.
Yeah.
Because I just saw 3 days ago what they did to you when you came. So if you're telling me I'm going to go talk to the same crazy people who just flipped on you, you know, and crucified you, peace. I'm going to be with you when I send you. So I think everything you said is exactly true. Yeah, I need another round of peace, because the peace I just got 5 minutes ago just left. I'm preaching to myself again, I think, because, you know, I'm walking around. It's 5 minutes before showtime yesterday at this seminar, and I'm like, nobody showed up. I'm like, okay, God, you got 5 minutes for somebody to come roll. I'll even back off. You ain't got to fill five tables. Just fill two. I'll be okay with that. You know, got to have that peace. Got to have that peace. Okay. All right. And this is probably where we're going to stop, but I want to do the Thomas thing for Lauren. All right. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, I never saw this before. I never put this connection together, because I'm always moving, trying to get to the next feast. Do you see what he just did in 21 and 22?
Gave them the power.
But he didn't have them receive the power until they experienced, humble, repent, be my
foes.
And then you start doing the work. So I'm just kind of showing you that Christ, even in his ministry, is still consistent with the sequence of the feast. In fact, don't even think about going to talk or minister to somebody else, especially if you're in conflict with somebody else, unless you follow these steps.
And I was taught that his vessel, that this is a strange scripture kind of, because the Holy Ghost hadn't come on Pentecost yet.
No.
But he gave them enough faith, power, to make it until the Holy Spirit did come on the day.
But do you see what he did here? What is it that they're fearful and don't believe?
They can't do it.
Yeah, that's true.
That he's really Jesus, that he's really alive.
Yes. Do you think they believe in the crucifixion?
Yes.
Yeah. They got no problem with that.
Yeah. They were going to be doing what he's been doing.
Yeah.
They're fearful of, oh gosh, now
that's true.
What?
That's true. Do you think they believe in the tomb?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they have not fully received step three. And you can't do 4, 5, 6, and 7 unless you really understand 3. Then you can do 4. And then, based upon 1, 2, 3, and 4, and especially 3 and 4, that will help combat the fear that you're going to have when you get ready to move to the next phase and interact with others. These steps, these feasts are just powerful.
And filling your new mind is not no freaking thing.
Well, it can be. It's a process.
Yeah.
But they should have picked it up because he was preaching and telling this all. But, you know, we're just like they are. We're just like they are.
But they had to have the Holy Spirit before the day of Pentecost to be prepared to preach on the day of Pentecost.
They received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
And that's where their power came from.
No, exactly. But notice what, look what Jesus is doing. He's preparing them for step four. How do you prepare somebody for step four? You make sure they got step one, two, and three. What was lacking? Step three. What's this whole purpose of him visiting? Step three. And then giving them, okay, and here's the thing. It seems God reveals more of himself as you make each step. But why would he give you new revelation if you ain't done anything with the old revelation?
Yeah, I think he breathed on because
I
needed it.
Well, he got the good fresh breath or whatever, you know, fishman, you know. But it's symbolic. I see it. I could be wrong. I see it as being symbolic of the preparation and getting them ready. Yeah. The Lord says, hey, we're getting ready to do some real work right now. I'm going to prepare you for that because we're going to see later, you know, as we get into the Feast of Pentecost next week. I know you guys are all excited because you see me here and we got victory or whatever, but we're just getting cranked up and you don't go anywhere until you got the power.
Chuck, I see that him breathing on very important because Adam, that's how he breathed on Adam, the breath of life. All the other animals, everything else was just created.
Very good point. So now I'm getting new life through my baptism, my new birth, all right? So now I'm getting, I like that, Roger. That hits my spirit nice. Okay,
everything else he just created. It was alive.
But now I'm breathing, he's breathing, preparing me for the new power, the new being that I'm going to be. In him we live and move and have our being. Now I'm getting ready to step into this new role.
To me, that's exactly when they got the new mind.
All right. So now, for Lauren's sake, let's talk about Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, which is now, they're prepared to share this with somebody else. They've been breathed on. But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his thigh, I will not believe." That's just powerful. And we've been there. Yeah. And after 8 days, eight in the Bible represents new beginnings. After 8 days, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. Slip, man. Boom. You know. In the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." You know what? And that's a priest right there. I don't care if the door is shut. You still got to open it, but God can still get behind doors. Verse 27. Then said he to Thomas. Oh, wait. "Peace be unto you" again. Another visitation. Yep. "Peace be unto you" again. Here you go. Why does he say it again? They're already believing.
Because the door was shut. Then he did
that. Well, he did it once. I guess he'll do it again.
Three times.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, just because he did it once, sometimes we still get scared. Mm-hmm. But I, this class has been such an inspiration because I don't really know how to grow a church except, I mean, I was here at Von Four, so I was part of that growth or whatever. But if he can grow this class to this, I mean, there's... Then, Al, what do we do?
You speak the word.
I'm just teaching, and it was word of mouth. I
you
never went to...
Write
that down.
You don't know what the Holy Spirit is.
Because you had to wait on this crew on this side of the...
It's not the donuts.
Don't put your mouth on Jimmy's donut ministry now. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. That ministry works. Yes, sir.
When he says peace be unto you, remember the supernatural.
Yeah.
We should always have the fear of God. It should
reverence.
Yeah.
We should never get used to it.
Right. I think he also does this not just because, you know, he's still the one that goes after the one sheep after the 99. Thomas is in the midst, and he probably needs it more than anybody else. Verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. So this is after he has already made the presentation in heaven.
Time has passed.
Earth. Yes. And that's the hearing of Scripture. And Thomas answered and said unto him, I just like this because I just like it. my Lord, my God. Which is, that's what it means to be saved, to believe. He's your Lord. He's in control. He's your God. She said to him, Thomas, thou hast seen me and thou hast believed. Love it. Seeing is believing. Blessed. Oh, yeah, it is powerful. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Wow. I always like to see myself as that last person.
Yeah.
Hey, Thomas, I know you're in heaven sitting up there with the other 12, but I believe before you did.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can be last, you can be first.
All right, Al. Thank you very much for this.
It's true.
All right, what's the next scripture? Luke 2:4. All right, so I got it on the screen, and somebody else needs to go to Genesis 8:4. Well, maybe I can do it all here. Okay, so here we go. Just more examples of the Feast of First Fruits historically. Luke 2:4. This is when Jesus disappears all of a sudden. Anybody ever wonder why Jesus just disappeared? Folks had to come and find him or whatever. I might have got a switch and just, you know, just tore them hindies part up. You know, he's about 12 years old. It says he's 12 years old. So I'm like, you know, he ain't even a teenager yet. You know, you get waxed in my household for doing this. Yeah.
He has a plan and a purpose.
Well, let's see what that purpose is. Now, verse 41. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. All right. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have blessed it, been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again, to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking him questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? I'm all down with that. I used to read this story before. I know exactly where Mary coming from with this. You know, how you do this? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. I remember one day my son, my only son, wasn't in the house. Boy done wandered out and playing with some other kids in the playground. I wanted to tear him up, but I was so happy to get him back, I didn't know what to do. And then another time he disappeared because the boy was hiding in some furniture. Close himself up the dog. We're going out to the house. Where is this boy?
He's strange, man. Just strange.
Yeah, mother side. Anyway. look at his response. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? I'm like, woo, 12-year-old, man, pop, 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 pop. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Talk to me. Do you understand what's going on here? Because Mary's just, I don't know what just happened, but I'm going to hold it in my heart. When do you think Mary really understood what was going on here in this instance?
At that time or later?
Later. Because she wasn't getting into her own. When she saw him on the cross, I just make an assumption. When she saw him on the cross and she's got this in her memory banks, what do you think she's going to be thinking next?
What else is he going to do? That's what I would think.
Okay, I like that. Oh, Anita, that's good. I forgive you for that terse comment that you made before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What else is he going to do? Everything should be popping her brain now. What comes next? What else is he going to do? Then you go back to the story. What's he doing next?
His father's business.
Back to touch me not. And what is the business of the Father? To be that intercessor to bring us back into relationship with him. We didn't see it. They didn't see it. In the 3 days that he is missing, he is doing the business of the Father, and the Father's business is us. Now we look at this and we go, how would she ever know that? Come on now. How would she ever know this? Your clue. Is in verse 41. Because it happened during the Feast of Passover. What is Christ doing when he's not being disobedient to his parents? He's being obedient to his Father.
Yes.
What is he doing? He's doing it. I know they might have gone through some sorrow, but he's giving them a foreshadowing. And the key is, it's happening during the Feast of Passover. He disappears during the Feast of Passover. He's missing during the Feast of Passover. When he dies on the cross and he's put in the grave, is he missing? He's missing during the Feast of Passover. How many days before they find him? 3 days before they find him. And when they find him, he's still about the business of preaching and teaching the word and delivering, doing the business of the Father. Oh my goodness. That's so good. Does it clear up your understanding? If you ever read this passage of scripture before and was like, man, this 12-year-old kid, he needs a good spanking. No. This 12-year-old kid knows more about the prophecy and the plan of God than anybody else there. And I never noticed it either until I recognized the feast. I might be wrong on some things, but this is just the foundation of my theology. And here's what it does. It increases my faith, so when nobody shows up for a seminar on Saturday, he still tells me, peace be still. When nobody shows up on a seminar on Saturday, when I expect it, and it seems like he's missing, I know he's still there. I love what Juanita said. What happens next? She held this in her heart, and I get to see her. Man, I've been through this before. What happens next? How can I Right there, Luke. Something happening, something's going to happen in your life. And you're going to be able to have the ability. I have seen this happen before with my parents, with my dad, I've seen this happen before. And now, and now I'm experiencing it for real. It is no longer a story that I'm reading in a book. What happens next? You stay faithful, you wait, he comes back, he delivers. That's what happens next. Peace be still. Peace be still. I know. Peace be still. Alright. Give me another one that we can go.
You said Genesis?
Let's go to Genesis.
Y'all just got it.
Could have been in the upper room while they were waiting. That, and I'm sure some of them got antsy and wanted to go and not wait.
Oh no!
Would have been. Maybe Mary was like.
Well, you know they already went fishing. You know. All right. Hey. All right. So the flood has happened. Judgment. Boom! The boom! The boom!
Yeah. It says in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountain of Ararat.
Yes. What day is that?
Seventh
month,
on the 17th day.
First, I got it highlighted. I guess he taught it before.
Yeah, I probably did.
First,
you got to remember, God changed the calendar and the birth date of the Jews in Exodus 12 when he said, this day is now the first day. So it's a calendar shift. So Genesis comes before Exodus. So the first day of the month, back then, before he changed the calendar, and their new birth in Exodus 12. This is Nisan, the new first month, because the seventh, what was the seventh month is now the first month, and what's the seventh month is now the fall. He switched, I know, but he switched it around.
That's the Red Sea.
Yeah. So, the ark rises out of the water. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I didn't see this. The ark rises out of the water and lands on Mount Ararat, wherever Mount is on the same day that Christ rises from the grave.
You said it. You said that. I can see how he's riding.
Why? Why that day? Why not any other day?
It's
new beginning, ark of salvation. And he's rehearsing. So he's just telling you. And you know what? You just really said the most profound thing. What's next? Did Noah humble himself? Yes. Did the world repent? No, judgment came. But now we got a new world, new order, rising up, new hope. What happens next? The ark rises out of the troubled water. On the day that he rises from the grave, what happens next? That's a question. That's not rhetorical. What happens next? Follow the chart. What happens next?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. All right, here we go. Thank you, Lord. Here's what happens next. Genesis 8:6. All right. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, 40 being the number of probation, that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Raven. That's a carnivore. Carnivorous bird. Unclean bird, as a matter of fact. And he also sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. What does the dove represent in the Bible?
Holy Spirit.
Amen. Where do we know that from? When Jesus was baptized, Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came.
And the the raven's a trickster, too.
Pardon me?
The raven's a trickster.
Absolutely. So, God bless you with common sense and a mind to process information. But you cannot lean on raven knowledge or your own understanding. You should do the math and figure out what's going on. Do the math, figure out in the natural what looks like or whatever, and then you need to go and ask the Holy Spirit, do I have permission to do this? No peace, don't move. All right. Verse 9, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned to him into the ark. And the waters were on the face of the whole earth, but he put forth his hand and took her in and pulled her in unto him in the ark. Okay, here I am preaching to myself again. I have a seminar on Saturday. I want the place to be filled up. And God comes back and says,
Not today.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted it to be today. And we want it to be there. Don't you think Noah was ready to get out of that smelly, stinky ark? But Juanita says, what next? I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. And even though the Holy Spirit says not today, the raven doesn't come back. But the Spirit comes back and says, peace be still, comfort you while you wait. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So no one knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Mm-hmm. What is the universal sign that the United Nations used to use for peace?
A dove with an olive branch.
Mm-hmm. Peace be still. After the ark, on the day that Christ rises, comes up out of the water, what's the next step? On your chart, Holy Spirit gets involved. If that ain't okay, anyway, what's the next one?
Joshua.
Let's go, Joshua.
5:10-12.
And that's not how you spell Joshua. And that's not how you spell Joshua. Let's just go with Josh. All right, chapter what?
5:10-12.
All right. What verse did it start? Joshua 5. 10. All right. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn on the self same day. What day is verse 10? Tell me.
Verse 10 is
the 14th day, which is Passover at the first time. Verse 11, what day is it?
Unleavened bread.
It's the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And the morrow, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. I hope I do this right. So what day is it?
16.
Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn, blah, blah, blah. All right. So basically, the manna ceases, and they're going to get pass over into this new season on or around the 17th, because the manna stopped on the 16th. Mm-hmm. Representative of
resurrection,
because the old is gone away. Mm-hmm. The old corn. Mm-hmm. The new. So God has been dealing with the children of Israel throughout these steps, throughout history. Mm-hmm.
All
right.
They would have connected all of these days and numbers and everything easier than us Gentiles this many years removed from it would.
And they still crucified him.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. All right. let's wrap this up. I think I said 1 Corinthians 10, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep, 15.
You said 5, no, 10, right.
Right. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Baptism. And all were baptized, see? And all were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. You got the baptism of the water and you got the Holy Spirit baptism. Alright. All did eat the same spiritual meat and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things are examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And then it just tells you all the things they did that led them to not make it out of the wilderness. Verse 11, now these things happened unto them for in samples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15. What verse?
It's 20.
All right, let's take a look at this. Let's start at 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Wait a minute. They do something else. Now, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and ye are found false witnesses of God, because ye have testified of God that he raised not up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so, that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Now, there's a reason why, because some of them believed, I think it was the Sadducees, did not believe in the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me just see here. He was buried. He rose again on the third day across the scripture. Okay, so let me keep going here. But now is Christ risen from the dead and has become, here you go, first fruits of them that sleep. And the only reason I'm reading this is because, who's he talking to? He's talking to Jews. They know about the Feast of First Fruits. They know what that means. They know that's the new birth or the spiritual birthday of the nation of Israel. And now he's connecting feast terms to what actually happened. And he's connecting the Feast of First Fruits to Christ's resurrection. First fruits of them that sleep. Now, how can I apply this to my life today? First fruits means there's a second fruit and a third fruit and a fourth fruit or whatever, and he's the first and we follow.
And they will know us by our fruit.
Yep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of death. For as in Adam all die, O corn, even so Christ shall be made alive. There's something else in here. When all things shall be subdued, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why, that's the verse, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour if Christ did not rise again? So, verse 29 is just kind of funny to me. So in Jewish tradition, when somebody dies, guess what they do? In Jewish tradition, when somebody dies, it's in verse 29, what do they do?
They wash the body.
They baptize the body. Mm-hmm. Like Juanita said, what next? Why are they baptizing the body? Because they're going through this ritual of this resurrection. And so what Christ is saying here, silly rabbits, if you don't believe in the baptism or the resurrection of Christ, if you don't believe in the resurrection, then why are you baptizing the bodies?
Why are you going through
your church ritual if you don't believe it in the first place? Do I even need to do an application for today? Why are you even going through this ritual if you don't believe in what you preach and what you follow? And he points that out. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. All right. I think there might have been one more scripture.
It was James.
Somebody turn to 1 James 17 and 18, and I think that would be a wrap for us.
James chapter
8.
James 1, 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.